At the end of Karbanos, every morning, the Siddur has a braisa that appears at the beginning of the Sifra, the beginning of the Medrash Halacha and Vayikra, the Yud Gimel Midah Shara Torah Nidreshes Ben. 13 of the ways in which we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, passed down throughout the generations, how you derive additional layers of meaning from the Psukim. And the last one is, Shnei Ksuma Machishim Zeh Zeh, you have two Psukim that are in conflict. One pasuk says X, another pasuk says Y. So how do you resolve that? So midah number 13 of the 13 midos is seek a resolution. Seek a third pasuk that will give you the teretz to miyashev what appear to be two psukim in contradiction. So that you've heard often from the chazan. So the question Rabbi say is, what do you do when there is no cost of Hashlishi? What do you do when you have Shnei Ksum Achishim Zazah, and one Pasuk says X, one Pasuk says Y, one Pasuk says red, one Pasuk says blue, one Pasuk says 5, one Pasuk says 7, and there's no third Pasuk? What do you do? Who discusses that? Who did you see this morning that discusses that question? No, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua. Exactly. That's a machlokas hatanam right here. Let's take a look inside. Psachim samach ches amajiz. Two lines after the two dots. Okay. So let's take a look.
Not our Gemara, but
Gemara. Okay. So maybe there are parallel Gemaras as well. Desanya. Here the Gemara quotes a braisa in the middle of Pesachim. This is where we learn Pesachim. Pesachim, Pesachim, Samachesim, and Beis. A braisa. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Einola Adam, B'yom Tov, Ela O'ochel, V'shose, O, Yoshev, V'shone. Rabbi Lezer says, you have two options when it comes to what your Yom Tov is going to look like. It could either be spent on eating and drinking, or you could sit and learn. By the way, if you thought that sit and learn is like a Yiddish expression, to sit and learn, it comes from the Tanam. He says, Yoshev Vishona. Right? Either Ochel Vishosi, eat and drink, or sit and learn. You have two extreme options. One or the other. That's the position of the first Tan, Rabbi Eliezer. His peer, Rabbi Yeshua, says, no, Chalkehu, you should divide the day of Yom Tov, Chetzir Lachil Hushtia, the chetzil beis medrash. Half the day eating and drinking, half the day learning. So Beleza says it's either or, and Yeshua says it's some of each, half and half. So where are these two? Now, as you see, we pass on like Yeshua. You see it because you see that little letter Dalad on the word Chalkehu, the little letter Dalad, Emishman, and Mitzvah. That sends you up to the top right corner, where they tell you where to find this din, the Rambam, and the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Smag. So we pass it like Rabbi Yeshua. That's what we, 99 times out of 100, the Chokz Rabbi Yeshua and Belez, we pass it like Rabbi Yeshua. And this case is no exception. And we know we pass it like Rabbi Yeshua because that's what our Yom Tovim look like. Rabbi Lezer had like a very extreme view. Where does this come from? What's this based on? So the Amor Rabbi Yochanan, he explains, Ushneya Mikra Echa Darshu. Ironically, these two such different pictures of what Yom Tov looks like, they come from the same pasuk, or as guys pointed out during Seder, they come from the same pair of psukim. They come from the same source in the Tanakh. What's the source? It's a stira between two psukim. Kasav Echad Omer Atzeres Hashem Elokecha. V'chasav Echad Omer Atzeres Tiyelachem. On the one hand, on the other hand. On the one hand, in Parshas Re'eh, it says it's a yantif la-Hashem alokecha, for your Ribbono Shel Olam. We have a pasuk in Pinchas that says it's atzeres ti'alachem, a yantif for you. Is it la-Hashem or is it lachem? How do you celebrate your yantif? In a spiritual fashion or in a physical fashion? Based medrash, Yoshev Hashoneh, or Achil Hashtiyah, la-Hashem or lachem, Ruchnis or Gashmis. Which one should it be? So Rabbi Eliezer Savar, O Kul Hashem, O Kul Lachem. It's a Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad. It's a stira between Re'eh and Pinchas. And we don't have a kasav hashlishi. So how are we supposed to miyashiv? So here's the machlokas tana. Rabbi Lezer says when you have shnei ksuvim, his shechter often says over, presents his gemara. Rabbi Lezer says that when you have that it's a fundamental machlokas, how do you deal with shnei ksuvim b'am kecha? Rabbi Lezer says if you don't have a yishuv, so then the implication of the chumash, according to Rabbi Lezer, is disjunctive. It's either or. If the Torah says X and the Torah says Y, so that must mean that you have, and there's no kasav hashlishi, Rabbi Lezer says that means that you have two options. Either choose X or choose Y. Either choose Lashem or choose Lachem. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Lezer savar, oh, kulo Lashem, oh, kulo Lachem. Either it's all for the Ribbono Shel Olam, meaning either it's all ruchniyistik, yoshe v'shone, or else kulo Lachem. It's all ochel v'shose. And Rabbi Yeshua says, nah, chalkeyu, chetzel Lashem v'chetzel Lachem. If you have this, what seems like an unresolvable stira, is it Lashem, is it Lachem? So Rabbi Yeshua says it's not, the mashmaus is not either or, the mashmaus is and. Mashmaus is half and half. That's how you're supposed to understand, make sense of such a stira in Pesukim. Again, if you like more technical terminology, Rabbi Eliezer views it disjunctively, and Rabbi Yeshua views it conjunctively. In simple English, Rabbi Eliezer says it's an or, and Rabbi Yeshua says it's an and. Rabbi Eliezer says it's kul Hashem or kul Lachem, and Rabbi Yeshua says, no, we have both. Chetzio Lachem, v'chetzio Lachem. Post can point out, Rabbi Nodavid, matter of fact, if you have Rabbi Nodavid on Pesachim, you can take a look on Osama Chesem Beis. He points out, it doesn't mean you're going to have a little bit of each regardless. There, Shechter puts it, Chayvam Lomer Lashon Rabo. Even according to Rabbi Lezer, you're not going to fast. Rabbi Nodavid makes that point. Not mamish fasting. He agrees you can't fast. But the question is, am I supposed to, if you're choosing according to Rabbi Lezer to do the Kulo Lashem approach, so that means you'll have the same tuna fish sandwich for lunch you would have on a different day. Yontif is not going to be any special added achila shtia. All the added time is going to be poured into spiritual simcha. The way the Ramban writes in his Hasagas on the Sefer HaMitzvos on Shorash Aleph, he talks about the simchas yontif can be expressed physically and simchas yontif can be expressed spiritually. The Ramban talks about halal. That halal perhaps, Ramban entertains the possibility that halal is doraisa. The Rambam says halal is always drabbanon. The Ramban says maybe halal is daraisa. Why would halal be daraisa? He says it's a form of simchas yontif. What's simchas yontif? He says, oh, it's a simchas hanefesh. It's a spiritual simcha. Spiritual simcha is through learning Torah. Spiritual simcha is through singing halal. The halachic man kumzitzes at halal. So that's spiritual simcha, simchas hanefesh. And then there's the simchas aguf of eating and drinking. So how do I express simchas yontif? So either way, as Rabbi Lezer says, choose one or the other. Either have the same tuna fish sandwich you have every day and spend all the extra time on yontif in learning and singing halal and so forth, or you're going to learn the same amount you would learn any day, and all the extra time you're going to spend on simchas aguf of eating and drinking and so forth. That's what Rabbi Lezer says. Rabbi Yeshua says, well, we do. No. You know, more of both. You want to have more, spend more time in shul, and you spend more time at the dining table. Chetzel Hashem v'chetzel Lachem. Chetzel Achil Ushtiyah v'chetzel Beis HaMedrash. That is a machlokas Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua. And it is fascinating in its own right, absolutely fascinating. Fascinating in terms of the content, fascinating in terms of as Rabbi Shecht likes to put it, sort of a larger methodological machlokas about how do you deal with a Shnei ksuv ma'bam ke'echad when they're in the absence of a kasav hashlishi she'achriya. And then the Gemara goes on to discuss exceptions. So here the Amorayim line up a couple of exceptions. Rabbi Lazar says, Rabbi Lazar and then Rabba and then Rabbi Yosef each mention days when you need lachem. When you have to have lachem. Even though Rabbi Lezer says, in principle, O kul Hashem, O kul Lachem, I could opt to have just Simchas HaNefesh, just Lashem, but there are certain exceptions. And let's look specifically at the first one.
Rabbi Lazar says, "Hakol modim ba'atzeres de'ba'in amlechem." Rabbi Lazar says, everyone agrees that on Shavuos you have to have some lechem. Meaning, everyone, meaning even Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yeshua says, you always have to have a physical aspect to the simcha. Rabbi Yeshua says, every Yom Tov is chetzo la'ashem, chetzo lechem. But Rabbi Eliezer, who says you can opt for kulo la'ashem, but not on atzeres. By the way, just to clarify a technical point, in case you were wondering if it's the same person being repeated, Amar Rabbi Elazar is different than Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, with the Yud, he's a Tana, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Yeshua. He was a student. He was alive at the time of the Churban Bais. He was one of the people who carried out Rabbi Yochanan ben Zasmag, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai out of Yerushalayim, the famous Gemara in Gittin, to negotiate with Vespasian before the Churban Bais. This Rabbi Elazar that we're mentioning, it's a different name without the Yud, and specifically this one is an Amora. So Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, is saying several generations earlier that Machlokas should be Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, but Shavuos is an exception. Why? Yom Shenitna Bo Toru. The day the Torah was given, there has to be a physical aspect to your Simcha. And the Gemara goes on to talk about returns to this, and specifically, let's go a number of lines down. A very, very famous line here, this, and near the end of the narrow lines of the Gemara, the sixth to last line. The line begins with the word Vasiri. Rav Yosef, Yomadat Sarta, Rav Yosef, the Amor of Yosef on Shavuos, Amar, Avdid Li, Egla Tilsa. He had them prepare a particularly a special Su'uda for Shavuos. Egla Tilsa is some sort of grade A veal. We showed him debate what the Tilsa means. Does it mean that it's a third of the way towards being fully grown? Does it mean it's the third cow in the family? Whatever it is, Egla Tilsa was some type of exceptional meat. And Rabbi Yosef asked for that exceptional meat specifically for Shavuos. He said, make me an Egla Tilsa. Why? So Amar, he explained. If not for what this day caused, Kama Yoseika Bashuka. There are so many Joes in the street. Plenty of Joe Shmos. But I'm not just a Yosef, but I'm Rav Yosef because of what Shavuos did for me. Interesting. So now let's think about what the Gemara is saying about Shavuos. So the Gemara said, even though normally Blazer holds, you have to have, that you don't need Lachan, but on Shavuos you do. Why? Why? Well, the Pasuk says about Shavuos. No, but how come Shavuos specifically, Rabbi Elazar would agree that you cannot have merely spiritual simcha? You have to also have eating and drinking. Why? Well, let's back up again. There was a machlokas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. The machlokas Hatanayim, how do you respond? How do you make sense of Lachem versus Lashem? So Rabbi Yeshua said the way we paskin, chatzi chatzi, chetzel Hashem v'chetzel Lachem. Rabbi Lazar said, no, it's an either or. Either opt for Lashem or opt for Lachem. O kul Lashem, o kul Lachem. But then the Amora, Rabbi Lazar, said, but in Shavuos, everyone agrees you cannot get away with just Ruchnis. You got to have some Gashmis also. Why Shavuos is different? What do you say? What was the difference? Yom Shin about Torah. Right, Yom Shin about Torah. Because today is the day that Torah was given. So how do you make sense of that? So what does that mean? So the truth is, Rabbeinu David thinks that that's a drab. You look at Rabbeinu David, he thinks that's drabana. That's drabana because he didn't call it psukim. But I don't think Tosas does not sound like that necessarily. Tosas the Baam says it's not from the psukim, it's a svara. Doesn't sound like it's Rabbanan, yeah? What would you say, Tani? It seems like it should be
You know what Tani's pointing out? It's a very counterintuitive far. It's a very sharp point. Tani's pointing out, I would have thought the day the Torah is given, Dafka should be the day that that you sit and learn. So the day the Torah is given is the day that you have to eat and drink. So how the svara works is what Tani's pointing out, and that's something that the number of Sifri Machshava speak to. Rabbeinu David thinks it's just a matter of making it clear that you're happy. You got to make it clear that you're happy. If you're not going to eat and drink, you might think you're not so happy. A number of the Sifri Machshava suggests something more essential, which is we would not want to feed into a misconception that the Torah ideal is pure spirituality. We would not want to feed into a misconception that the Torah ideal is to be a monk, to be a hermit, and to be an ascetic, and to be totally removed from Olam Hazeh. That is lahavdil what several other religions do believe. Christianity and some aspects of Islam also believe that the ideal human being, the holiest person, they believe, is a person who's totally removed from Olam Hazeh. The priest in Catholicism has to be celibate, and the holiest person is a monk who... I'm sorry? Chazal speak about it. The Pesukim speak about it. Chazal speak about it. But perhaps one of the most famous treatments of this is the Rambam, the beginning of the third parak of Hilchos Deos, where he names it and calls it out. He said, we reject what certain other religions believe, that the ideal holy human being is one who is totally removed from Olam Hazeh. We reject the notion that the monastery is the holiest place to be. Adrabah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Human beings are unique in the Bria as being fusions of physical and spiritual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created physical Brias. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created spiritual Brias. But only human beings are a blend. That's where we lay in this week's parasha. Human beings are a blend, a radical blend of the physical and the spiritual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a body, as the Torah stresses, Min HaAdamah. We are physical bodies. So it could be, as I was saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's come back to your point. So Rebbe Shalom creates us as a fusion of physical and spiritual, and that indicates that's the whole idea of mitzvahs, Tariq mitzvahs, they're almost all highly physical. It's taking neither the hedonistic approach nor the Christian approach. Neither to say, like the Christians, that physicality is bad and therefore fundamentally the best thing would be to be kula ruchni, nor the hedonistic approach that all physicality is fine, just do whatever you want. We expect it to blend. We expect to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu modeled for us to breathe the neshama into the guf, to engage Olam Hazeh. Not to disengage, but also not to engage randomly, to engage Olam Hazeh with self-discipline. So Yom Kippur, there's a place for fasting, but the ideal is not to fast all the time. You ask a question, Fred?
The extent of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, when we say, like, I mean, you devote the whole day beyond the Hashem or to yourself, and you choose one, if you're saying that the whole day
No, so as we were saying before, it doesn't mean that. As Rabbi David stresses, it doesn't mean you don't fast on Yom Tov, but what it's saying, what it's about, is Simchas Yom Tov. How are you expressing the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov? That's what these Pesukim are talking about. Of course, you don't fast, but how are you Sameach by Yom Tov? So Rabbi Yoshua says Simchas Yom Tov always needs to be expressed both physically and spiritually. And Akiva, I think you're right. Yeshua's understanding the Pesukim is that every single Yontif we're expressing this idea of Ayipa Ba'apa Nishmas Chayim. Every single Yontif there's a blend of Simchas HaNefesh and Simchas HaGuf. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you have the right to have either type of Simcha, but on Shavuah specifically, Yom Shinit Nebatorah, there has to be a physical aspect to the Simcha. Now, if you see this as inherent, so here's what's interesting. So Rav Rav Moshe Sternbach in Modim Uzmanim, in Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, so he points out what you see from this, he does not mention Rabbeinu David, but if you read the Gemara as being more essential, not just Rabbanan, so what you see from the Gemara, Rav Sternbach points out, is that the how you express Simcha, because remember, this sugya is talking about specifically Simchas Yontif. How you express Simchas Yontif, the rules of Simchas Yontif are different on Shavuos than on other Yom Tov. Right? Rabbi Lazar is saying that according to the Tanya Rabbi Lazar, on Pesach, I'm allowed to have Simchas Yontif totally Lashem. On Sukkot, I can have a Simchas Yontif totally Lashem. But on Shavuos, I cannot. The rules of Simchas Yontif are different. And why? Because Yom Shanin about Torah. In other words, because I'm celebrating something different. The celebration of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rabbi Lazar holds, could be accomplished either through a Kul Hashem or through a Kul Lachem. But the celebration of Matan Torah cannot be accomplished through Kul Hashem. That needs a Lachem Chelek. So says Rav Sternbach, so what does that tell you? It tells you that it's not the same Simchas Yontif each time. It tells you that Simchas Yontif relates to the specific content of that Yontif. That you see from this Gemara, Sternbach points out, that Simchas Yontif is Din Prati. Again, we started talking this Chakira a little bit at the end of Shir yesterday, and we started talking about it earlier this morning, but I apologize that the Zoom connection was Shvach. So let's just reiterate this concept of Klali and Prati. It's a very important type of thinking. It's a very important type of Chakira that will come up in many contexts. When you have a halachic principle that applies to various mitzvahs, applies to various contexts, so you sometimes want to figure out, let's give the example of Torah earlier this morning. Hopefully now you can all hear me. Let's take a look at Lifnei Iver. And Lifnei Iver means several things, but Lifnei Iver, Torah this morning, one of the meanings of Lifnei Iver, Gemara Begin Maseches Avodah Zarah, that a Jew is not allowed to provide someone else with the opportunity to do an Aveira, with the tools, with the materials to do an Aveira. So you have a Nazir who wants to drink wine, I'm not allowed to hand him a glass of wine. I have, there's a Jew, Rachman Litzlan, who wants to eat bacon, and I'm the only person in town who has a supply of bacon. I feed it to my animals, or I'm a beekeeper, and I use the bacon to keep the bears away, whatever it is. But Lamaisa, this Jew comes to me and he wants to have a piece of bacon to eat. And I give him the piece of bacon. Or a Jew or a non-Jew, the Gemara says, comes and asks for Eiver Menachai. And I give him the Eiver Menachai. So that's a violation of Lifnei Iver. He's doing the Aveira of Yain LeNazir or of Behemoth Tameya or of Eiver Menachai. And I am violating Lifnei Iver because I'm enabling him to do an Aveira. So what Rishonim seem to debate, the Stipler in Kilas Yaakov has a beautiful write-up of this. It seems to be Machlokas Rishonim at the end of Perek Ben Soru, Mor and Sanhedrin, and elsewhere, is when you do Lifnei Iver, so is it always, I could violate Lifnei Iver for enabling someone to eat bacon, enabling another to drink wine, enabling a Jew to Michal Shabbos. I give the guy wants to drive on Shabbos, and no, he doesn't have access to a car, and I give him the keys to my car. And he drives my car in Shabbos. Come on, let's go on. Drives my car in Shabbos. Or you have a Jew or a non-Jew who wants to violate a Avodah Zarah, but they don't have the animal that they want to bring as a sacrifice. And I offer them the animal. I offer them the incense. And they're going to offer that animal, that incense, as a carbon to the Avodah Zarah. So what did I do? Are those all the same? Would you say in every situation, I'm violating the same Aveir Lifnei Iver? Is it worse or no? Or maybe Lifnei Iver Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah flavored. Lifnei Iver of bacon is bacon flavored. L'may nafkamina. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, look, we know there's a rule that if a Jew is Machal Shabbos Bifrahesia, he's Dino Kenachri, very severe. In ways that Chaznish points out, it rarely has relevance to Bizman Hazeh. So a case where you have a fully observant society and someone was raised with full observance and then makes an adult decision to walk away from it, that's pretty rare, bizman hazeh. But in principle, Chilul Shabbos has more severe consequences than other things. So the question is, let's say I'm not actually Mechalel Shabbos, but I violate Lifnei Iver of Shabbos on a regular basis. I'm the guy who, I would never drive on Shabbos myself, but everyone knows if you want to drive on Shabbos, Rachman Son, come to Cohen, he'll give you the keys to his car. If I'm Lifnei Iver of Shabbos before Hesia, am I also Dino Kanachri? Or let's say, this is what Rishonim debate in Sanhedrin. Do I have to give up my life to avoid Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah? They don't want me to worship Avodah Zarah. They just want me to provide them with the tools so that they can worship Avodah Zarah. Is that also Yehareg Vayavar? So both of those questions hinge on is Lifnei Iver just, it's always the same Lifnei Iver, Isser Klali? There's an Isser of the called Lifnei Iver. Or no, maybe Lifnei Iver, in each situation, it's not a new Aver called Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver Avodah Zarah is a little bit of Avodah Zarah. I become a partner to his Avodah Zarah. I become a partner to his Chol Shabbos. I become a partner to his eating bacon. That would be called an Isser Prati. It's specific. It's localized. It takes on the specific identity of that context. So that's the sort of Chakir of Klali Prati. To begin to imagine that there could be special status Lifnei Iver of Shabbos as opposed to other Averis, or to begin to imagine there could be special status Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah as opposed to other Averis, is to say, in each context, it has its own unique flavor. It's not the same Isser Lifnei Iver. It's Prati rather than Klali. This idea comes up by Chatzi Shir. Maybe some of you have heard, come across it in the past. And the idea comes up by Hidra Mitzvah in a positive sense, and it comes up right here. Simchas Yantav. Is it Mitzvah Klalis or Mitzvah Pratis? Is it the same Simchas Yantav every Yantav? Or each time you're celebrating specific content? So Sternbach points out, you look at this Gemara in Pesachim, it's fascinating in so many levels, and specifically, it's a Raya that Simchas Yantav is a Din Prati. Because we're saying that the rules for Simchas Yantav are different. The halachas, the pirkei halachas of Simchas Yantiv are different on Shavuos than on a different Yantiv. Why? Because on Shavuos you celebrate Matan Torah, and Pesach you're not, and Sukkot you're not. So that's why Pesach and Sukkot, Rabbi Lezer would hold, it's fine to have kulo lachem, kul Hashem, but Shavuos you have to have a piece of lachem, because the simcha is apparently a different simcha, because you're celebrating specifically Matan Torah, Yom Shenitna B'Torah. So what are the repercussions? Good. So Chaim wants to know, so who cares? Or is it a din klali or a din prati? So number one, okay, for Shavuos. But moreover, for us, and then Tom, I'll take your question in a second. The nafkimi is going to be, let's bring it home. Right? The last 2 days, we began to explore the din of Ein Ma'ariv and Simcha, the Simcha. And yesterday, we began to think about how Ein Ma'ariv Simcha B'Simcha intersects, overlaps with Hakafas on Simcha's Torah, and specifically the Arizals and the Gra's Mefazes u'Mecharka. Shouldn't that be a violation of Ein Ma'ariv Simcha B'Simcha? Right? You have Yantif, Shmi Atzeres, and now you're busy with a Siyum HaTorah. Make it some other time, just like Shlomo scheduled the Simchas Beis HaMikdash for some other time for the week before Sukkot. So why not schedule Siyum HaTorah, Simchas Torah, the week before Sukkot, the week after Sukkot? So yesterday we began to answer, well, maybe it is the same Simcha, because the Simchas Yantav is Atav V'Chartanu. Simchas Yantav is Bechiras Yisrael. So if Simchas Yantav is Bechiras Yisrael, Atav V'Chartanu is the phrase that headlines the Shmona Esrei of every single Yantav. Okay, so then Simchas Torah is a celebration of Bechiras Yisrael. Now that would be fine. Here's the kicker, and here's where we come to the Sugya Pesachim. That would be fine if Simchas Yantiv was just a Din Klali. If Simchas Yantiv is about every Yantiv is about Atav V'Chartanu. But now that we see from the Gemara Pesachim, Samach Esam and Beis, that Simchas Yantiv has a Prati specific element also. It's not just the same Simchas Yantiv every Yantiv. If it was the same Simchas Yantiv every Yantiv, it would be just always a Simcha Atav V'Chartanu. So why would the rules be different on Shavuos than any other Yantiv? Clearly, the rules of Simchas Yantiv, which is the topic of Samach Esam Beis, Lachem Lachem, is not just about Yantiv, it's about Simcha, the mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv. How do you have Simchas Aguf, Simchas HaNefesh? So So clearly, Simchas Yantiv is different than different Yom Tovim. Clearly, you see from Samech Hesed Beis that there's a din prati in Simchas Yantiv. And once you accept that Tzav the Chakira, that's not enough to say, oh, I'm allowed to have a Simchas Torah on the second day of Shmi Atzeres because it's in line, it's consistent with Atav Echatanu. It has to also be consistent with the din prati of Shmi Atzeres. What is the Simcha Pratis of Shmi Atzeres? And as a matter of fact, we know what the Simcha Pratis of Shavuos is. The Gemara told us, Yom Shnit Nebatorah. So if we would have had a Kafas on Shavuos, that would have been Gemaldic. Because that's consistent with, it's not distracting from the Simcha of Shavuos. That is the Simcha of Shavuos, Yom Shnit Nebatorah. The Torah was not given on Shmi Atzeres. So we're back to square one. But the Atav Echartanu Teretz would have worked if Simchas Yantiv we just didn't call it. But it's more. There is a prati aspect. You see Yom Shnit Nebatorah. You see that there's a prati aspect. So I would suggest, and the following is along the lines of Rosh Sternbach, but not exactly what he says, is we definitely need to figure out what the Simcha Pratis of Shmi Atzeres is. And for that, I would want to take a look at the Psukim in Parshas Pinchas. And hopefully we'll discover that the Simcha Pratis of Shmi Atzeres, not only is the general Simcha of Yantat of Chartanu consistent with Siyam HaTorah, but we would hope to find that whatever the specific flavor of Shmi Atzeres is also consistent. And then we have a solution. So how are we supposed to figure what Shmi Atzeres is all about? So there's an interesting pattern in Parshas Pinchas. So before that, Tani, you were waiting for a question. Okay, so why don't you think about it? Think about it, see if you can formulate. And I'd love to, yeah, be done.
It's not bothered by teams that were able.
So, Tanya, were you saying like every year is it different?
It's a different one. So, for having a simple story by one of them, that's what I was thinking about. I realized it was a different
one. Okay, you gotta think it through. Okay, I would love to hear more. Yeah, be done. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you could always have Kul Lachem. According to Yeshua, you need to have Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Lachem, but that works on Shavuos as well. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you cannot have only Lashem. Even Rabbi Eliezer, who says normally you can have only Lashem, you're allowed to have Kul Lashem. You don't have to have Rabbi Eliezer holds you don't have to have a Sudas Yontif. It's a remarkable thing. Rabbi Eliezer says if you just want to sit and learn Beis Medrash all day, so have a bowl of Cheerios for breakfast and come home for a tuna fish sandwich. But you could just sit in Beis Medrash all day. You don't have to have Yontif Sudas. But then you have to sit in Beis Medrash all day. Right? Either or. Okay. So again, in explore, you want to explore, coming back to our thread, you want to explore what's the Simcha of Shmi Atzeres specifically. What is Shmi Atzeres specifically? And hopefully that too will be consistent with Hakafas. But to explore that, there's actually an interesting hint. And the clue lies in charting some psukim. Bible codes, but not in the usual sense of Bible codes. You take a look in Parshas Pinchas, the psukim that we lay in for the maftir of every yontif. So it presents the Karban Tamid, and then the Musaf for Shabbos, the Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, and then it goes through the year. Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, all the days of Sukkot, and Shmi Atzeres. There's a lot of numbers, loads of animals. Parim, Elim, Kvasim, Seirim, a lot of animals. And Lamasa, if we're honest, we usually don't pay enough attention. Neither when it's being laned, nor when we're saying it or listening to it in Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf. So in the first layer of appreciating it more, I think, is just to realize that the chance to hear Maftir on Yom Tov, or the chance to say the Pesukim of Musaf, is an opportunity to reconnect with Yontif in the Beis HaMikdash. Something to think about. Like that's a basic kavana. You're listening to Mafta, here's your chance to imagine your mind what would it be like to be in the Beis HaMikdash for Sukkot, to be in the Beis HaMikdash for Rosh Chodesh, to watch the Kohanim bring all these karbanos. And then let's take another step. Beyond sort of the basic sense of connecting the Beis HaMikdash, there are differentiations to be made. If you take a piece of paper and you chart out how many animals you bring every day for the Karban Tumah, how many animals you bring for the Karban, the Musaf of Shabbos, how many animals you bring for the Rosh Chodesh and for Pesach, for this Yontif, for that Yontif. So there's a fascinating pattern. The Karban Tumah every day and the Karban Musaf of Shabbos is a basic bare bones. Two sheep. Every day you bring one sheep in the morning, one sheep in the afternoon. The Karban Tumah Shel Shachar, the Tumah Shel Be'er Abayim. And on Shabbos, the Karban Musaf is to bring an additional two sheep. So that seems to be category one. The basic everyday version. Just plain two sheep. And then there are three other categories. Shabbos is two more, right? So category one is just your basic, the everyday variety. Two sheep. On Rosh Chodesh and all the Yom Tovim, it's more, it's way more. And a tip to ten tends to be a goat for a carbon chattis, plus some number of parim, elim, and kvasim. Gevaldik. Right. So as Akiva said, if you chart it out, it's either 2-1-7, 2 parim, 1 aisle, 7 kvasim, or it's 1-1-7, 1 par, 1 aisle, 7 kvasim, or way more than that, double or more. So the 2-1-7 is for Rosh Chodesh and Pesach and Shavuos. Sukkot you would expect to be there, but Sukkot has its own. Everything is doubled. You have 14 kvasim and 2 elim and a varying number of parim. And then 1-1-7 is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So I tell you I have three categories. One of them is Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, Shavuos. That sounds like your basic Yom Tov. And then you have another category for Sukkot. And then the third category is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So where would you have guessed Shemini Atzeres goes? Right. So maybe you would have said Sukkot. Well, that would be the most natural. Okay, it's clearly not Sukkot. That's part of what drives the Gemara to say, in certain ways, Shemini Atzeres is regal b'fnei atzmo. Shemini Atzeres, the Gemara says in Sukkah, to an extent it's a continuation of Sukkah, to an extent it's a Yom Tov Hatzeres. Okay, so it's not in the Sukkah's category. Then you would have expected it should be with Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, and Shavuos, with the other Yom Tov. But remarkably, it's not. Remarkably, Shemini Atzeres is also 1-1-7, just like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now that's pretty surprising, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you may have did. Shemini Atzeres is one of the only Yom Tov, but it's not at all a Yom HaDin. You look in the Mishnah, it's the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. Pesach is a little bit of Yom HaDin, and Shavuos, but not Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is not a Yom HaDin. So Rosh Hashanah is the end of Sukkot, and Sukkot is a din on the Mayim, the Mishnah says. And so Rosh Hashanah Rabbah is the climax of the Chag Nidonim al HaMayim. There's some degree of din about the rain for the coming season. That's how Rosh Hashanah Rabbah is serious. Sharam is a lot of Anashem Hoshiana. Hoshana, Hoshana, Hoshana. We're diving into the Kol Mevaser. We're diving for the war, and then we're diving for Mashiach. Yes. So how do you make sense of Shemini Atzeres? So Pashtus is that Shemini Atzeres is not Yom HaDin. What that means is that if you're looking at these categories, and again, you only notice that the Torah is conveying these messages once you actually chart it out. That third category, well, we said one category was every day, the Tamid and the Musaf of Shabbos. The one category is your basic Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, Shavuos. A third category is Sukkot, is sort of on its own, apart from the Yom Tovim. But then that last category, one par that's marked by a single par, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shemini Atzeres. L'chora, the fact that Shemini Atzeres is there tells you that that's not, the category is not Yemei HaDin. The category is not Yom Naron. Instead, the category is Yemei Kirvas Hashem, Yemei Ava. We referenced a number of times earlier in this month and at the end of Elul, that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Yivamis understands that when Yishayahu says, "Dear Shu Adonai b'himatzel kerubi yaso karov," that we should seek out a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a time in a Kadosh Baruch Hu who is more accessible that time in Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Elul Asar Yom Shemini Yom Shemini Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Kippur Yemei Hadin, but there are also Yemei Harachim. They're times of intense access to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Access to intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but with an overlay of some seriousness. An overlay of Yimei HaDin. Simchas Shmi HaTzeres, apparently, is Kirvas Elokim without the strings attached. It's once again a return to that intimacy. It's a somewhat smaller carbon, one par, not two par, not 13 par, just one par. And it's once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more accessible to us, but without the overlay of the yira of the Yimei Hadin. That's why the Gemara in Rashi on those psukim in Pinchas, on the Musaf of Shemini Atzeres, Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Sukkah that the messaging of Shemini Atzeres, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you had 7 days in the Sukkah, but now stick around one more day, but no Sukkah. Right? In Eretz Yisrael, there's no need for a sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. In Chutz La'aretz, no need for a sukkah on the second day of Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. So, and the pasuk says there's a much smaller carbon. So Rashi, on that context of the carbon, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, that's ikvu imi odel kosh alai predaschem. And it says, Zohar Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, it's so hard to let go of you. It's so hard to see you go. We've been spending so much time together. Stick around for one more day. But without any mitzvahs. That's what the Sefer Mechshava pointed out. Over the course of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, there's so many hands-on mitzvahs, so many physical aspects, mitzvahs nasiyos, the shofar and the fasting and the sukkah and the lulav and the arava and so on and so forth. And now it's one day of just with Ribbono Shlom. As a matter of fact, the Rav, the Shechter quote Nefesh HaRav, the Rav quote, I believe from the Vilna Gaon, we go around some of the posts can discuss hakafas. They say you go around the bima hakafas on Simchas Torah just as you went around the bima for Hoshanas. So the Rav just the Rav quotes from Lagon. It's really a two stage progression. The first stage is over the course of Sukkot. You have the Sefer Torah in the bima in the middle, and you makif the Sefer Torah with the lulav and esrog, symbolizing mitzvahs in general. I mean, the mitzvahs bring you to Torah. The second stage on Simchas Torah, you have an empty bima, and you go around with the Sefer Torah to indicate that Torah brings you to Ribbono Shel. So that really captures, that is, if we were looking for the essence of Shmi Atzeres, from the evidence, from the fact that Shmi Atzeres is in the Psukim with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and from on those psukim, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, "Kosh alai predaschem." The day is always like the overwhelming avos. Hashem Rebbeinu doesn't want to see us go, and it's without mitzvahs masiyah. So just chop one more day. It's a chance to chop one more day. It's a day of pure avos Hashem. It's a day of pure kibbutz alakim. And as the Rav quote from the Vilna Gaon, it's a Torah with a highlight in the fact that Torah brings you to kibbutz alakim. So what emerges, Rabbi Osai, is the following. It's true that the simcha kolalis of every yontif is b'chiras Yisrael. Every yontif is about the atav b'chartam. That's the sort of the overarching theme of all the Yom Tovim. But then, as Rav Sternbach pointed out, the simple reading of the Gemara himself, every yontif also has a specific aspect. There's a simcha process as well, and Pesach is about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and perhaps Sukkot is about Hashgacha process, and so on and so forth. And Simchas Shmi Atzeres, the simcha process is Atav V'Chartanu. That's what it's all about. That's the simcha process of Shmini Atzeres. That's not just the general theme. That's the specific theme of Shmini Atzeres, is that we have a relation with Ribbono Shel Olam. And that mitzvahs and Torah ultimately bring us to that sort of kibbutz elokim. That's why I think the quote from the Sfas Emes, Gemara says, "V'ha'yisa ach sameach." Ah, samachta b'chagecha. So, because v'ha'yisa ach sameach, ach is l'rabos shemini atzeres, leil shemini. So, the favorite of the Sfas al derech chasidus, v'ha'yisa ach sameach. The word ach is a rabbi. How's ach mar b'shemini atzeres? There could be different ways of understanding it. But he under, but the Sfas Emes said, what day of the month is shemini atzeres? What day of the month of Shemini Atzeres? The 22nd, Chav Beis. He said, Shemini Atzeres is gathering together all the first 21 days of Tishrei. And they're taking the serious type of Kirvus Elokim of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur on the one hand, and taking the Simcha of Sukkot on the other hand, and Shemini Atzeres brings it all together. And now, without any specific mitzvahs masios, it's sort of it's a day of pnimi, a day of the core simcha of intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kashlai pei daschem. One more day of Rosh Hashanah without any specific external mitzvahs. It's a mitzvahs and celebration of the fact that mitzvahs and Torah bring us to Rosh Hashanah. And through mitzvahs and Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us close to Him. That is a specific messaging of Shemini Atzeres. So the Neila, if Atav Echartano is not only the Simcha Klaus of all Yom Tovim, but the Simcha Protis of Shemini Atzeres, so it makes very good sense. It is not only is it mut, if no, it's mutter to have Hakafas on Simcha's Torah, because it's not a contradiction or it's not a distraction from Shemini Atzeres. That is highlighting, emphasizing the theme of Shemini Atzeres, that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu via Torah Mitzvahs. And Shemini Atzeres is a perfect day. Well, how come they chose Shemini Atzeres? No better day than the day of Kashlai Pradaskam. No better day than the day, the last in the series of 3 days of one par, the days of Yemei Kirva to Ribbono Shel Olam. And I would close by just noting the language of the Rambam. At the very end of Hilchos Lulav, he spends Halachos Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dal, talking about Simchas Yantav, specifically on Sukkos, in the Beis HaMikdash, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the plain to say about that perhaps some other time. Macholkas Rashi, Rama, 100% Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But then he transitions, after talking those three halachos about the Simcha of Yom Tov, he transitions to talking about taking it into, bringing it into all year long. He says, Rabosi, you should know that the Simcha, the very last halacha in Hilchos Lulav, Perakhes Halacha Tezvav, the simcha that a Jew should have in doing ba'asiyas ha-mitzvos uva'avas ha-kel shetziva behen. The simcha you should have on two layers. In doing mitzvahs and in the love of God who commanded you to do those mitzvahs. Avoda gedolah. It's a great avoda. How do you translate avoda gedolah? It could mean it's difficult. It's often not easy to, even if we're doing the right, it's often not easy to do the right thing. Even when we do the right thing, it's often not easy to be excited about it. A lot of times, you know, okay, it's the right thing to do, but I'm not so excited. Avodah Gedolah, it's hard work to take joy, to do mitzvahs with joy. And also, something you have to work on. And also, avodah, it's a big avodah. More the Chassidish sense of the term. It's an incredibly valuable avodah. It's transformative. Investing and finding simcha and yadus, that's incredible. And you'll notice the language that he uses. It's the simcha in doing mitzvahs, and in the love of the God who commands us to do the mitzvah. So often, you know, we just say, like, I have to do X. I'm not allowed to do Y. As opposed to rephrasing the same sentence as, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me to do X. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to rise beyond doing Y. When I re-inject, which is absolutely accurate, when I remember, it's not just, I have to do X, Y, and Z, but halacha is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands me. The Avos HaKel Shetziva Behen. When we put the mitzvahs in the context of a relationship, the relationship that's heightened over the course of a Shemini Atzeres, a Simchas Torah, the Kashlai Predaschem, that's the secret, the X factor that allows me to find great simcha in mitzvahs. And that's what the Magid Mishnah says. I leave it to you. You can look inside it. I want to hold you back time-wise, but could I to look inside the Magid Mishnah on this Rambam? It talks about recognizing what's truly important, what's truly valuable, and what really lasts. Lots of things come and go. But the greatest simcha is going to come from plugging into the things that are forever. That Torah and mitzvahs brings us to Kirvas Elokim is the message and the meaning of Shemini Atzeres and the second day of Shemini Atzeres, which we call Simchas Torah. And that's the way to leverage this, the whole Chodesh Tishrei, into a Cheshvan, a Kislev, and a Tevis, and a Shah, is to think about that Rambam. Think about finding the Simcha, to remembering that mitzvahs are part of my relation with the Baal Shalom, and through that, it can be not only that what I need to do, but what I take joy in doing. And yes, you're absolutely right. Dancing hakafas with the Sefer Torah and be makif the bima with the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah, on the second day of Shemini Atzeres, is the perfect way to leverage this simcha of Yom Tov, this simcha of Bechiras Yisrael, of Kirvas Elokim, into forward, into the year, into the everyday simcha sheyisma ha'adam, basiyas ha-mitzvahs of avas ha-kel shetziva v'hem, nish nachayantiv ha-vek, nor nachayantiv ha-rein.